But if you're playing a swing state or something that could go either way, almost certainly you're going to find great value on election night, probably even better value than you could get at any time point before election night.
Warning. The political trade features probabilities and perspectives about politicians, political parties, political outcomes, and political wagering. The political trade is rated NSFP, not safe for partisans.
Welcome back to The Political Trade, the podcast for people with a passion for politics, probability, and profits. I'm Jeff Joseph, editorial director of Luckbox Magazine, hosting the podcast where conservatives and liberals, Republicans and Democrats, partisans and wingnuts come together to make money betting on politics by trading in the stock market for politics at predictit.org. Making his return to the show today is neuroscientist and predicted super trader Jason Pipkin. The last time we had Jason on the show was right before Super Tuesday, so we'll be revisiting the trades he made then, as well as asking him about which markets are catching his eye today. And we've got a lot to cover. We'll be talking to Jason about a series of prediction market contests that he's been holding, featuring real cash prizes, walking through some election night trading tips and tactics that he has to share with us, and then finally turning to the markets in our last segment for some of his best trades. I'm joined by Mike Reddy. Mike is an editor at Luckbox Magazine, a new prediction market trader, and the producer of The Political Trade. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good, Jeff, and I hope everyone out there had a nice Labor Day weekend. I gotta say, it's really nice having Jason on the show again. I happened to catch an interview he gave on Politico's Nerdcast podcast last week. Do you happen to listen to that?
I caught a bit of it, yes.
The guy knows what he's talking about, so it's going to be a really fun episode for all the traders out there.
Of course, and since our fourth episode, which was Jason's first appearance, he's become a friend of the political trade, and it's always good to have him on, so let's bring him on. Jason, are you with us?
I am here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks. It's good to have you back here. Last time you were on the show, as I mentioned, was February 26th. It was right before Super Tuesday, and in the tactics section, you talked about swing trading, live election returns, which has really turned into an evergreen lesson for new listeners who may have missed it. And looking back, you shared some specific trades with us as well. Mike did a little research today just to go back and take a look at what you talked about then. And if you recall, you were pretty emphatic that if Joe Biden wins South Carolina, buy him in Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia. Of course, Biden did win South Carolina, and then he won those subsequent four states that you had a pound the table buy on. So it was a great trade. It was great advice for our listeners. So we thank you for that. You also, which we've mentioned several times since your appearance, you mentioned kind of at the height of Trump's ratings in the predicted polls when he was trading in the high 50s, and he'd been sustaining those numbers for quite a long time, maybe about 3 or 4 months. So right around 56 for Trump, you said short Trump in the presidential winner market because COVID was just coming out and you expected that his administration's response would probably hurt his value in the market. That was a dead-on accurate call. I remember specifically looking at 56 cents, following your advice, and then watching him trade all the way into the mid-40s. So we talked about that quite a bit on the show with other guests. And so let's start by asking, what is your position now? You called that perfectly. Are you still short Trump, or did you settle that position out?
I'm in and out of the markets all the time. So I've long since settled that out. And I am alternatingly short and long Trump while waiting for the election to happen. At the end of the day, I think Biden will win, of course. But we can get to that a bit later. The one thing I remember about that COVID prediction, it was good, but I missed the real value, which was in the economic indicator markets. So the markets on will there be a first-term recession for Trump, that was trading at 25 cents at the time. And then will there be a quarter in which we get 5% annualized growth? And that was trading at 5 cents at the time. So I understood that he would fail at responding to COVID, but I didn't understand, or I didn't think to look at how COVID would affect other markets. So that's what I, when I look back on, I really kick myself because I saw part of the story, but I missed the really profitable part.
Well, the part of the story you saw was still a significant move. So you've been trading back and forth, swing trading as a tactic that you articulated in that fourth episode with us. And generally speaking, in that big market, in the presidential winner market, how many cents do you look to get out of a swing trade? Are you looking for 2, 3, 4 cents? Is there a rule there? Or generally speaking, what are you looking at?
Sure. Around the conventions, I bought before each convention and sold for about 4 or 5 cents more. The race has been marked by long periods of relative stability. So there was the big move Biden's way in June as he was getting Mongo polls everywhere. That was a good time to just ride Biden for a long, long period. And then since then, we've just sort of been flat. And when we're flat, all I'm trying to do is get a penny at a time. So I'll buy for some price, sell for a penny higher. And that continues to be my basic approach here up until we get to the first debate. And at the first debate, I'll probably go in on Joe with the anticipation he might win that debate. And then I haven't really planned further than that.
Well, you have been also busy with some contests that you've been running. And of course, anyone can follow Jason and should follow Jason on Twitter at Jipkin, J-I-P-K-I-N. But through this, through your Twitter platform, you've been promoting some contests that you've been running with active predicted traders and actually giving cash prizes. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Yeah, I mean, part of the beauty of predicted is that you make a political prediction based on your own opinion of how the world is going to be. And if you're right, you get paid. And if you're wrong, you lose, and that kind of sucks, but you learn from it. But the one thing it's really lacking is that you don't really get a true sense of bragging right of who called it beforehand and how well did they do. Oftentimes, people will come out, they'll post their positions after they've sort of already won, but no one posts their big losers. I mean, a few people do. So I came up with this idea to run a contest where I would have people submit at 4 different time points ahead of the general election what they think is going to happen. So they're going to predict, in the case of my contest, what the margin of victory is going to be in the presidential race nationwide and in several states. And then whoever gets the closest to the real margins of victory will get the most points, and whoever gets the most points wins a little cash prize. And the only catch is it's completely free to enter, to be legal and everything. I'm not kept prize eligible, but I enter as well. The only catch is if you want to be eligible for a prize, you have to put your name on your predictions. And those predictions I make public in the form of a spreadsheet showing what everyone said. So it is a way to establish ahead of time, this is what different people think. We have some real sharps answering the call and entering the contest. And then the other people that traders people might not know about, other people that follow me on Twitter and happen to know about it, everyone's welcome to do it and see where you stack up relative to the rest of the field, relative to models, relative to the markets. And then once the dust settles sometime in December, you know, who gets the prize?
And you've already resolved one of these contests, the first contest?
So we've had entries closed now for 2 contests. So the time points I'm collecting entries for are, we had one for August 1st and then one for September 1st. And then we'll have 2 more for October 1st and then November 1st. And the baseline prize you can expect is $250 for first place. That prize pool may go up. I've had people contact me saying, hey, we think this is a great idea. We want to contribute money to the prize pool. Can we do that? And I said, sure. So that may continue to happen or not happen, but I can guarantee that amount. And they're not resolved yet because we haven't had the election yet. So once we have the election, we'll be collecting the results, and they'll all be resolved and paid out at the same time.
Any outliers this far? Have you seen any results that just don't reconcile with what you believe to be the case in terms of aggregate numbers?
In aggregate, no. Everything is very rational. If you go to my Twitter, I have pinned at the top a link to the spreadsheet that you can look at, and all of the numbers are completely in line with what every other way of forecasting the election shows. Currently, for instance, nationwide, the contest entrants had Joe Biden winning by 6 points in the popular vote. And prior to that, in August, they had him winning by 7.3. So he moved down a bit for that September point.
So looking ahead, obviously we have three debates coming up and they have the potential to have some impact. And you've already alluded to that. And you have an outlook there that Biden might be, that Biden might show a little bit of surge coming out of the first debate. A lot of that having to do with what's probably been a bad strategy by the Trump campaign is to underestimate him and set expectations lower. I think that occurred for his acceptance speech in the Democratic primary or in the Democratic convention the other night. We've been expecting to see less of Biden in terms of oratory skills, but he performed well. And consequently, there was no discernible market move coming out of those conventions. But what else do you expect to see coming out of the upcoming debates?
Recalling 2016, I think Trump probably won most of the primary debates he was in and then lost all three of the general election debates to Hillary. And I'm not saying that as my personal opinion, although it happens to be, but also like the polling showed the instant who do you think won the debate was always going to Hillary. And there's a historical trend where incumbents tend to lose the first debate. I don't know how much you want to buy into that, but Obama lost his first debate to Romney and Bush lost his first debate to Kerry. And as a result, both saw the little bump they had in the polls from their conventions get erased. So there's some precedent there. And I, like you said, I think even though the campaign is now trying to backpedal and build Joe up, there's no way their candidate is going to stick to that. And the implication is always going to be that Joe Biden can barely do anything. And he's just a puppet and he's mentally enfeebled. And it's a really low bar for him to pass. And ultimately, I think he will pass it.
If you were to generalize on what lies ahead as we get closer to November, do you expect to see the spread tighten a little bit more between Trump and Biden?
I don't. It depends on the polling. So, you know, as we sit here and speak, NBC has released a poll with Trump tied in Florida with Biden. And that's a respectable polling outfit, and that market has moved 5 cents both ways just sitting here. So if he gets a run of polls like that, then yeah, the race can certainly tighten. But my general expectation is that people think Biden is going to win. A lot of Trump's value is uncertainty about which way the polls go. And if we're in a situation where the polls are more or less saying the same thing in the middle of October as they're saying now, then Biden is worth a lot more because there's not as much time left for them to change. And there are fewer undecided and third-party voters this year anyway. And in that environment, Biden's price, it just has to go up. So I expect his price to close strong. The only reason it wouldn't would be if Trump, does bring the race back somehow. Or you get some sort of black swan, Biden getting corona, which isn't maybe even that much of a black swan, or something else that really upends the race.
As we speak, there has been a tightening in Florida. The Republicans are up 5 cents on the day in that state as a direct result of that poll that came out. So the Democrats dropped 5 cents and Republicans are up 5 cents. So in Florida, Republicans are trading at 53 cents and Democrats at 50 cents. It's the closest that race has been in a while. And that, of course, is a direct result of that polling announcement. You mentioned some black swans and some October surprises. We've talked about the obvious ones, a vaccine. The Durham investigation is still out there. Do you think there's any potential impact there?
I don't. I mean, I think it's a turnout factor, if it's anything, for the right, but I don't think they need much. I think the segment of Trump's base that's invested in Durham is already super enthusiastic to vote. And it's not going to stick the way anything stuck with Hillary. Hillary's reputation and her image is so much different than Biden's. People like Biden. They didn't like Hillary.
I think what's interesting about what we're going to do right after this short break coming up is you are going to speak specifically to trading tactics on election night. So I look forward to hearing that. And our listeners, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back. But when we do, Jason is going to share essential trading tactics for those planning on trading election night. We'll be right back. And we're back with Jason Pipkin for the tactics segment of today's show. Today's lesson, election night trading. We're going to have Jason take us to school in a moment, but knowing that we were doing this segment just a moment ago, I reached out to predict it and wanted to get an answer on actual trading volume, what we looked at 4 years ago on trading night, on election night. And the answer was of about 27 million shares traded on election night in 2016. Of course, that was a record at that point. That was the highest trading volume that predicted had ever seen. Since then, of course, that number's been surpassed on two evenings. The Iowa caucus saw more trading than 27 million shares, and also on Super Tuesday. But we do know there'll be a lot more trading this year. It's going to be a big night just because of the sheer volume of increase of registered traders on Predictit. So, Jason, this is an essential lesson that you're going to give us. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunities on election night, and you're going to help us understand how to best confront those. So we're still about 50 days out from the election. It's never too early to start prepping the trading strategy. So let's go. Let's start with, how do you prepare by studying early voting and vote by mail data? How do you get prepared for election night trading?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I'll just motivate it. Like, why trade on election night first? And that's simply because the best values you're ever going to find in any election market will usually be on election nights. That's not going to be true for some states that just are never swing and they go one way or the other. You can get in ahead of time. But if you're playing a swing state or something that could go either way, almost certainly you're going to find great value on election night, probably even better value than you could get at any time point before election night. So in 2016, for instance, Trump won Florida, but the first batch of votes reported were the early vote and vote by mail, and Clinton was up big. And so by 8 o'clock, 8:30, Clinton hit 95 cents to win the presidency as a result of it looking like she was going to carry Florida. The election day vote then started to get reported in Florida. It became clear Trump actually still had a path to win. Then it became clear he would win. Everyone started trying to get out of their positions by the other way. And eventually, you said predicted to 27 million in volume. Well, that's with the website crashing from about 9 o'clock till 11 p.m. Or I think it was on for at least an hour.
That's right.
Where people couldn't trade. And so it would have done a lot more volume if people were able to trade in that missing time period. And if you managed to catch the bottom, you were getting Florida for Trump at 12 cents. You're getting Trump for the presidency at 5 cents. You would never get gotten those values beforehand. And you would have been able to spot them if you'd just known a little bit about how election day votes are a separate population from the early vote and the vote by mail, right? Different pools of voters participate in each. And as a result, the spread, the margin between Trump and Clinton in this case is going to be different in the two populations. And that's even more true this cycle, right? Where so many Democrats want to vote by mail, much more so than Republicans. That's borne out in requests for ballots so far. So many Democrats want to vote early, whereas Republicans want to vote on election day. So that sets up a really predictable dynamic where early votes and vote by mail reported first. They're won by the Democrat by a big margin. And then you have to see, well, how much is Trump winning the election day returns to see if he's going to be able to pull back and eventually win.
So what's the best way to get a handle on mail-in votes, on the early election returns? Is there a source other than the networks to rely on?
Yeah, let's talk about election results. The best source for getting data of a high quality is usually going to be from the states or the counties involved in reporting that data. So the New York Times, which a lot of people rely on, is not going to give you a breakdown. At least I don't. Maybe they will this year. It's not going to give you a breakdown of what fraction of the vote is from vote by mail and what fraction is from election day. You may be able to sort of intuit it if you hover over a county and it says zero precincts in, but a bunch of vote. That probably means it's vote by mail. But it's not going to tell you straight up. So if you want to know that, you actually have to go to the website of the county that you're interested in, or the state. But if you really want to do it right, you have to go to the county, go there, and see if they are reporting the specific breakdown in vote type. So that's work. I mean, it's real work. And in order to do it right, you probably would want to develop a few basic scripting skills so that you're able to extract that data quickly and respond to it quickly. Or else, if you don't want to do that, then, you know, be able to spot check manually in a few different places to get a rough sense of what's going on.
Well, based on what we already know, there's five states that have been doing vote by mail successfully in previous elections. It's Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Utah. So you would be able to count on those counties reporting pretty efficiently, I would think, in those five states. Of course, policymakers in another half a dozen states like Arizona and Florida and Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, Texas, they're all clashing right now about how to broaden vote by mail. But invariably, they're going to figure something out. I think the USPS sent a 40 states a warning letter on August 14th that deadlines may not allow time for ballots to be returned and counted. And about six additional states have already received warning letters of lesser problems. So I think one thing we can count on is that there is going to be a lot of disruption in terms of the regular reporting of results because of vote by mail. And what that kind of leads me to is this other new market that Predicted put up, which is, when will the presidential election outcome be called? And it's a bracketed market that has dates ranging from November 3rd all the way to after December 14th. It's an interesting market right now. November 3rd has 24 cents, November 4th has 32 cents, November 5th is 10, and then everything else for the most part is single digits thereafter. So it goes back to the core question is, do you expect we're actually going to have an election result on November 3rd or 4th? And what does that mean to how what the trading opportunities are going to be?
And the short answer to that is, let's look at Florida, just Florida. That's it. If Biden wins Florida, for instance, there is a very high chance, above 95% chance, that he has won the election. Will CNN and Fox call it in that case? I don't think so. They'll probably wait around to see what's going to happen. But it's most likely over. And we would know on election night, or maybe in the morning hours. So I don't know if it'll be third or fourth. If it's a very close election, Trump is winning Florida, all the other states are close, then it could drag on forever. So that market's kind of a proxy for how close things are, what you think the networks are going to do, which I don't know. And then as well, it incorporates information about the ballot counting process. And I just want to say a point on that, on how ballots are counted. If you want to trade well on election night, you need to know state by state when they plan to report ballots of different types. For Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia, you're going to get the early and absentee votes right up front, the vast majority of them. That will differ from states like California, where you get a big, long trickle of vote by mail that keeps coming in after the election or that comes later. So you need to pay attention to how states do things. And in general, I would pay attention to those early states, Florida and North Carolina, which report, you know, as long as no one's standing left in line, they're going to start reporting between 7 and 8 p.m. on election night. Focus there, because, you know, if Biden's winning North Carolina, he's won. If he's winning Florida, he's won. So that's sort of your first test of the night to see how things are going.
And the pointer is North Carolina and Florida. Keep your eyes on those two states. They're going to be the leading indicators of the outcome that evening. Where do you generally go to find the most granular data on election night? I mean, you mentioned the New York Times sites. There's a number of other sites. What are the sites that you will be spending the most time on?
Yeah, the way I do it, I will scrape the data from the New York Times. There are three nationwide aggregators of election data. The AP, the Associated Press, that's what the New York Times uses. An outfit called Decision Desk HQ, DDHQ, and another outfit called Edison, which is what CNN uses. So I will scrape all three of those. But that doesn't necessarily give you the granularity that you need. They may provide a turnout estimate. The New York Times will probably have its needle product giving you a live probability. But if you really want to know the split in the vote type, you actually have to go to the counties. So if you want to know what's going on in Wake County, North Carolina, you need to go click through the North Carolina results site until you can see exactly what's being reported in that county. And it will show you the split by early vote, vote by mail, and election day. It'll all be right there. So I can promise you that exists for North Carolina, and it does exist for Florida as well, and Georgia, and some others too.
Invariably, the numbers that you'll see simultaneously on Decision Desk versus Edison are different. What accounts for that? Why are those numbers not identical at any given moment?
It depends on where they are getting them. So Decision Desk, for instance, in like New Hampshire, they've got like volunteers that are at the vote counting township centers, the vote counting sites for a given township, you know, typing into a laptop the data as the clerk reads it out. Whereas, you know, the AP may be calling people up on the phone in a different order. They all will scrape websites that a state uses. So Georgia uses this one service, and when Georgia pushes an update, they all will grab it pretty quickly after that. It's kind of abstruse stuff, but yeah, you do have an advantage if you're able to combine the results from different sources quickly, because often New York Times may have someone leading in one state, or the DDHQ has the other person leading. But if you combine the results and you take whoever has the most results for each county, sort of county by county, you'll come up with the true answer for what's going on.
I would also throw in my own tip, and let me know if you think this makes sense or not. I've noticed that Steve Kornacki really, really does tip the market when he makes a proclamation. Have you noticed the same?
I don't know. Steve doesn't tend to call things that much, but Wasserman does, Dave Wasserman. He's a data analyst guy, and he'll do his famous tweets that say, "I've seen enough. So and so has won this race," and he does move the markets occasionally, very profitably. When he's wrong, he's been wrong a couple times. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The other thing that's going to be moving the markets while results are counted is sentiment among the sort of election analyst side of Twitter, because a lot of traders lack the sophistication to do it by themselves. I mean, I've been there at times, don't have any clue what's going on. So you just look at Twitter to see what people are saying. And if they're like, "Oh, I'd rather be so-and-so," or "I'd rather be Trump," "I'd rather be Biden in Florida right now," that's going to be a great indicator for where the markets, for something that the markets might respond to, even if it turns out not to be true.
And you mentioned Dave Wasserman. Of course, he's editor of the Cook Political Report, and is speaking on NBC News frequently. And he's probably someone you should be following if you're a trader. At Redistrict is his Twitter handle. That's Dave Wasserman of Cook Political Report. Anyone else that you'll follow on election night closely?
I'll follow the Nates, and that's Nate Silver and Nate Cohn. I mean, G. Elliott Morris, if you want to get some model back and forth, modeling arguments between those three. Who do I follow? I mean, I follow so many people. I tell you what, you can send people, you know, come over to my Twitter account and you can click on the list of people I follow, like 1200 or so. There's probably some way to export that and then go and add a few of those to your repertoire and see how it goes.
Not bad advice. So how do you prepare for the site going down as it did in 2016? And then we saw earlier in the primaries this year, too. Can you explain that dynamic a little bit and what people should be prepared for?
Did it go down this year? I know it did well on Super Tuesday, which was nice.
It did. It was down for a very short time. It wasn't down for long.
Yeah. And it went down in 2018. It went down in 2017 for the Doug Jones race. How to predict when it's going to happen is when there is a big flip in the odds. So in 2017, it crashed when it became clear that Jones was really in the hunt and could win. And everyone started to trade at once because everyone saw it at once. And when everyone sends their trades at once, the system gets backlogged. In 2018, it crashed when the same thing happened because 538 had a live model that for whatever reason took Republicans' house odds erroneously as high as like 45%. And everyone panicked, even though we were like an hour into the night. And that's what kicked it down. And in 2016, what caused it was the Florida Election Day vote coming in, good for Trump. Everyone panicked trying to go the other way. So if you start to see a scenario where, for instance, let's say Biden has closed strong, he's worth 77 cents going into Election Day, and all of a sudden it looks like it might be a repeat of 2016, that's when you're going to be in trouble. The way to avoid it is not to have any money riding on anything that you're not comfortable with not being able to trade. So normally you're able to trade in and out all the time. Going into a big election night, don't have anything invested that you're not afraid to lose, because there could be a time period where you're unable to dump your bags.
Well, going back to that predicted market, when will the presidential election outcome be called? I'll give listeners my own trade recommendation there is buy nose on November 3rd. I think we know enough out of Florida that it's going to be a tight race, and Florida is not going to be called on November 3rd. That's my expectation. And even if it is called, there's going to be enough haggling in that state and maybe even judicial moves or that further delay the final result out of Florida. Florida looks to be a pivotal state, that's for certain, in this in the Electoral College for this upcoming election. But I don't think we see a resolution in Florida that evening, because regardless of whoever loses that state, they are going to raise objections that take us into another day. I think it's going to be an interesting year. I think there's going to be extended trading opportunities in all these markets that allow people like you just to further leverage these swings and really take advantage of it. So your trading day tactics are really, really helpful. How do you know a bargain when you see it on election night? What do you look for?
You look for a spot where you are very confident that the votes remaining in a given jurisdiction will move the race substantially to favor, you know, the underpriced outcome. As an example, in 2018, the markets for California House districts were way overconfident on Republicans on election night in the early wee hours of election night. So California's 25th and 45th districts, Republicans hit like, or the 45th, I know for sure, they hit above 90 cents. And Katie Porter won by 5 points after all the ballots were counted. So in California, there are a lot of late coming ballots, and they're all going to skew more and more Democratic. So if you spotted that, that was a great opportunity. There was another such opportunity in Arizona in 2018. In 2016, there were huge opportunities in turnout and in popular vote margin. That flipped like after almost a month after Election Day. So remember, Clinton was only up 0.9 points on election night in the popular vote. She closed it plus, 2.09. And that flipped from the 0 to 2 bracket to the 2 to 4 bracket. And there was a lot of money to be made on that if you spotted it. So you can't always know where that opportunity is going to present itself. But we have so many of these data-rich markets, tipping point state, narrowest state. We'll probably have a lot of margin markets that somewhere or the other, they're going to be probably several five-figure entries for the trader sharp enough to spot them first.
Well, we're going to get into some of those trades in a moment. We're going to be right back after a quick break. But when we do, we'll return to ask Jason for his perspective on some very specific predicted markets. But first,
want a little more luck in your life? Get Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability, named the best new magazine of 2019. Luckbox is a must-read for side hustlers, gamblers, entrepreneurs, and active investors. Each issue features best bets from prediction market experts, as well as timely sports wagering, stocks, options, futures, and cryptocurrency trading ideas. You can buy Luckbox on newsstands, but with this special offer, listeners of The Political Trade can receive a 10-issue digital subscription absolutely free. Just visit getluckbox.com to receive the award-winning magazine right in your inbox. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox for free today. Learn more at getluckbox.com.
Well, welcome back to The Political Trade with Super Trader Jason Pipkin. And to get the most out of this trading segment, open up predictit.org, click on the Markets tab, which is upper left, follow along, and remember, listeners, to leave your political ideologies at the door. And also remember that when we discuss a contract's price on Predictit, it's synonymous with what the market forecasts the probability of that specific outcome to be. So a contract that's trading at 40 cents implies a 40 cent probability of that outcome occurring. So let's get started. What I like about what Jason is doing in this segment, and usually we just walk through market after market after market in the trade segment, but Jason wanted to work around some main themes, and he has three themes to share with us. The first one is just buy Biden. So, Jason, you want to walk through that and explain what that means?
It means exactly what it sounds like. So, Biden is underpriced to win the presidency. He is polling in a much stronger position than Hillary Clinton was at this time. Hillary Clinton at this time in September, and remember, this was after her stumble, and all of that in September, she was in the low 60s. All right. As we sit here today, Biden can barely crack 60 cents, despite him being up way more in the polls. And despite there, most importantly, being far, far fewer undecided and third party voters left to sort of swing the election.
Good point.
He's just in a better position. He's way underpriced. And you could argue that Hillary was overpriced at the time because everyone thought Hillary would win. Right now, the markets have sort of overcorrected and overlearned from their mistake. Now they're not trusting polls at all. There are a lot of people that believe in Trump, and they deposit and they buy Trump because they want Trump to win. That's always a factor in any betting market, is the political biases of the participants. And in general, predicted being very male, very online, you're going to get a lot of MAGA money. So Biden's cheap. He's cheaper than he should be. He might lose, but he is worth more than 58 cents, in my opinion. I have him in the 80s. Other people maybe don't have him that high or have him higher. But if you want a simple way to make money, buy Joe Biden. You'll probably win.
And that is the big market, where there's 98 million shares traded to date. Who will win the 2020 U.S. presidential election? Joe Biden's trading at 58 cents today, and Donald Trump is at 44 cents. And buy Biden is the trade. Any other markets to buy Biden?
There are several markets that you can buy Biden in. So if you don't, for instance, let's say you're scared about Joe Biden getting the coronavirus, you can just go to which party will win, and you could buy the Democrats, or you could buy no on Trump. And of course, if Biden does get coronavirus, everything I say here is going to go out the window, because that's going to throw it all up into turmoil. Aside from that, there are lots of ancillary markets that ask the same question. Will the next vice president be a woman? Will the winner of the Massachusetts primary, which was Joe Biden, win the presidency? Same thing for Texas, South Carolina. So there are, I think, seven or eight of these markets unpredicted. So if you want to get down more than just 1,700 on Biden in the main market, You can get up to like 10,000 down just on that straight up question. Of course, if you have that kind of money, maybe you want to go to offshore sites. I don't know, but up to you.
Of course, you're referring to the $850 cap that you have on any underlying contract unpredicted. But, and generally speaking, you're going to find the same pricing. So these ancillary markets that Jason just walked through, they're priced similar. So in the which party will win the 2020 U.S. presidential election market, the Democrats are at 59 cents and the Republicans at 44. So they're within a penny of what the pricing would be in the presidential winner outcome. But the point is that it allows you to extend your position by essentially making the same bet, but to just increase your exposure to that outcome. So,
oh, I forgot. One pro tip. The best value is in the Electoral College market, the Electoral College margin of victory market. If you buy no across the board on the GOP, I think you're getting something like implied 48 cent price or something like that for those no shares. You'll have fewer shares because you're buying expensive no shares, but you'll get the best price.
So in the, what will the Electoral College margin of victory be in the 2020 presidential election market? That's a multi-bracketed market. There's about seven different GOP brackets, and there's about seven different Dem brackets. And you're saying that the aggregate total of the no's on those shares?
The amount that you would win on no, on GOP, a couple of days ago was 52 cents. So, for instance, if you buy no on GOP 280 at 95, you're winning 5 cents. And GOP no on 210 to 279, you're winning 3. So if you just add all that up through all the GOP brackets, I got to 52 a couple of days ago. I don't know what it's going to be like when people hear this, but it'll probably be a better value than what you're finding in the main markets. And you also don't have to buy the full range. You could leave a few GOP brackets open.
Yeah, that's absolutely a pro tip. That's a great trade, by the way. That's really a really good trade to look at. So again, you're looking at the no shares for the GOP and what will be the Electoral College margin in the 2020 presidential election. Great trade. Thank you. Let's move on to your second theme. Safety first. What do you mean?
Well, let's say you're the kind of person that is really scared about what could happen. And you remember 2016 and you don't want to be in that position of the sure thing losing. And you just want to get your money down in spots where you're virtually guaranteed a return. Nothing's ever guaranteed, but virtually. And markets unpredicted offer you that opportunity. You want to go to New York and bet on the Democrats to win New York? Because guess what? They are. Then you can do that. And you're going to get actually a pretty reasonable price. So I think right now New York is
93 cents.
So yeah. That's just 7 cents sitting on the table. You can go right on the Predictit main page, predictit.org main page, and it's got all the numbers for all the states. And as you look around them, you'll be seeing things like North Dakota, 96, that's free. South Dakota, 95, that's free. So all of this is all these safe states are pretty free. You can click over to the Senate map, and there are places like Kentucky where Mitch McConnell is, you know, almost certain to win. You can buy him for 88. You could have gotten much cheaper earlier if you'd caught the mania surrounding the Dem primary. This approach will cause you to invest a lot to not win much. So if you're the person that wants to make a big return and gamble, I don't recommend it. If you have a very large bankroll, you absolutely should be doing it. Although if you have a stupidly large bankroll, probably just go offshore and bet some other third-party site. But the value is there, and it's on the table, and people are going to keep leaving it on the table. So if you want to take it, take it.
So let's recap those quickly. Which party will win the U.S. Senate election in Kentucky in 2020? McConnell's trading at 88 cents. That's pretty much a sure thing. The Republicans at 88 cents against Amy McGrath. She's raised a lot of money, that's for sure, but there's no way she's taking that state. And you just mentioned the Democratic states like New York at 93 cents, but you would also add California at 95 cents, Illinois, 95 cents, Alabama as a Republican state at 96 cents, and then another strong Republican state that works under the safety first rule would be Mississippi, trading at 93 cents. So there are many, many opportunities now to look at of markets price in the 90s where they certainly look like a lock. But what about the sell at 90 rule? So that's a violation of that principle, isn't it?
That is a violation of that principle. I don't subscribe to that principle. I understand it. So, I mean, sell when your shares have reached their value or when they've gotten as high as the market's going to give you if you are afraid the market could go back. So that's sort of, it's this another way to frame iSavage's famous rule. But, you know, a free 5 cents is a free 5 cents.
It is.
And I don't turn it down.
And this is the time to look for them. There are many, many in these 400 plus markets unpredicted. There's a lot of sure things out there sitting to be taken. So let's move on to your third theme, which is wait on Trump. What do you mean by that?
So the underlying thesis here is that I don't think Trump's price going into Election Day is going to be higher than it is now. I may be wrong. So if you think it's going to be higher on November 2nd, then you can buy Trump now and hope you get paid then. But if you're like me and you think probably Biden's price is going to close much higher than it is now, and that's, again, a bet on the race remaining stable, it might not, then there's no point buying Trump before the election because all you have to do is wait for the Florida early vote and the Florida vote by mail, which moved the markets huge in 2016. It might not do the same thing this year. We don't know. But it probably will do something similar. And then you could just buy Trump then, and you'll get Trump for a lot cheaper than you'll ever get him prior to the election. You may lose that money because Trump may in fact go on to lose the election, but you're going to get a way better price. My plan, if I'm ever going to buy Trump, is to do it at those timings and in response to the data I see. So if you've mastered all the data aggregation that you need in order to perform well on election night, then you're going to be able to spot the true chances for Trump in various states and nationwide, and you'll know when it's the right time to buy or not buy.
So around 7:30 p.m. Eastern night on election night is when you would buy Trump. What about the markets like Iowa and Ohio? Currently in Iowa, the Republicans are at 69 cents. In Ohio, the Republicans are at 63 cents. You see any opportunities there?
Those are the markets, Iowa, Ohio, Georgia, and Texas are sort of the stretch states for Biden. The extent to which their stretches will depend on who you're talking to. Some people are very bullish on Texas and Georgia relative, for instance, to Ohio and Iowa. And what that means is, let's say the race stays around Biden plus 6 to 7 nationally. Those states might close in Trump's direction because that's probably not enough for Biden to flip them into his column. But if Biden goes up to back where he was in June and he's plus 9, he's plus 10, he's plus 11 in the polls, then those states are all in play and Democrats will be leading. So I wrote in there that, you know, if you want to bet on Trump and you want to just bet on him to win, then any universe where he's winning Ohio and Iowa, for instance. And in some of the universes where he's losing, he's still winning Ohio and Iowa. So you're going to pay a higher price, but you retain equity in the event that Trump loses.
So those are great trades. I got to thank you. I really like the way you addressed your three themes here. So once again, as a recap, wait on Trump, safety first, and just buy Biden is essentially the three themes that you shared with us today and the examples as well. Great trades, great ideas. And if you're not trading unpredicted, you should be. We have $20 for you. You can take advantage of the trades shared by Jason by going to predictit.org/promo/TPT20. Sign up, deposit $20. We'll match that first $20, and it's that simple. So we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we'll be taking a look at this week's Luckbox long shot trade. We'll be right back. We're back with Jason Pipkin. In last week's episode with Alan Lichtman, we shared your Luckbox long shot trade. It's a new segment where we focus on low price contracts that have a lot of upside. The Luckbox long shot recap was in our last episode. We spoke to the market you put in front of us. What percentage of the presidential vote will not be for the two major parties? it's an interesting market because you're really looking at the third party candidates. Of course, we know last election in 2016, there was a pretty strong showing by third parties. Gary Johnson alone on behalf of the Libertarian Party received almost 4.5 million total votes, which was about 3.27% of the national vote. And then when you add in the Green and Independent Party, that got us pretty close to 5% of the total vote cast in the 2016 presidential election went to independent and third parties. So the market that you put in front of us as a long shot market is what percentage of the presidential vote will not be for the two major parties. And that market has 13 different brackets. They're priced in half percent increments. So B1, for example, would be 0.5% or less. B13, bracket number 13, would be 6% or more. You identified B2. You want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, the thesis here is that there will be a lot fewer third party and third party votes and write-in votes this cycle than there was last. Why? Because there are fewer of them in the polls, and because the share of them represented in the polls is very similar to the previous 2 years that we had an election with an incumbent. So in 2004 and in 2012, we had at this time actually right around the same exact number of third party or undecided voters. So for instance, according to 538's averages in 2012 and 2004, we ended up right around 95% of people polled saying they were for either the Democratic or the Republican candidate. And then the final result was much higher. So in 2004, 99% of the vote was for either Bush or Kerry. And in 2012, 98.3% of the vote was for either Obama or Romney. So the final number of third party voters is always much smaller than the final polled number, for instance. And since we're tracking along well with 2012 and 2004, my bet is we'll end up somewhere in that range. So if the two party share is 98% or more, then that means the not two party share will be under 2%. You have four brackets to choose from under 2%. I picked just one of them because we had to pick something a long shot. So 0.5 to 1%, that would be the equivalent to what we saw in 2004. So it's happened before. Less than 0.5 has never happened in history. I own some because why not? But it's never happened as far as I know. And 1 to 1.5 could happen. 1.5 to 2 could happen. That would be what happened in 2012. It could be over 2. It could be 2 to 2.5 or 2.5 to 3. Those are in play for sure. I just happen to think it's more likely to be under 2 than over it, but this is not safe. It is a long shot, but it has potential.
And the long shot trade specifically on the second bracket is priced right now at about 10 cents. It's been fluctuating between 10, 11, 12 cents. But going back to the safer play, if you were to look at 2% or 2.5% or less, those five brackets add up to approximately what?
We're nearing 40 cents for under 2.5, I think, as I stare at it. Maybe a little more, maybe 50.
So you can buy bracket 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, get all
the
way
under
up
2
to
is 50 cents right now.
50
yeah.
cents.
And it wasn't, yeah, it's gone up recently. So there was a time when Kanye was getting in this race that the market had 6% or more as high as like 15 cents, which was ridiculous because Kanye was never going to get that much vote.
Well, so your long shot trade then is B2, but if you're looking for a little bit more safety and still want to trade this market, you can buy the first four brackets for about 50 cents, still come in under 2% of the vote.
Yep. Not a guarantee. But
not a guarantee.
Safer. Right.
Well, we also have our lockbox trade that we should probably throw in there too. Do you, if our listeners know what a lockbox is, it's a trade that has a high probability of occurring.
I would put it in what I call a lockbox.
Do you have a lockbox trade for us?
I do. You know, this is a market that has seen better prices in the past, but it is which candidate will finish fourth in the popular vote? And the answer is Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate.
Howie Hawkins.
He's currently trading at, what, 82 cents? He traded as low as 40 cents back when people thought Kanye was actually a thing. Joe Jorgensen was as high as 25 cents, I know, because I maxed 75. No. And yeah, Kanye opened in like the 40s or something. So there were better deals in this market in the past, but I think it's still reasonably a lock. Howie Hawkins is on the ballot in California. Kanye West is not. So you can't really get fourth place in popular vote if you are not on the ballot in the most populous states. So Kanye really can't do that. And Joe Jorgensen and the Libertarians, I expect to outperform the Greens as they always do. There is one scenario where this doesn't go Howie's way, and I'll just mention it. If you look way down the market, we have contracts for Trump and Biden. And you might be thinking, there is no way Donald Trump or Joe Biden will be fourth in the popular vote. But there is a bank shot way you can get there, which is that for whatever reason, either of them have to be replaced at the top of the ticket. For instance, getting coronavirus, being hospitalized, withdrawing from the race. And then that happens in such a timing that a lot of states have already sent ballots out with, say, Biden's name on them. They can't pull it back. And the Secretary of State certifies some votes to Biden and then some votes to Kamala or whoever the replacement would be. And you end up with some really weird scenario with how the FEC counts it. It would be a legal mess. But for that reason, I would not buy no there, because you just want to keep that open in case that that situation arises. And I think it's appropriately priced at 1 cent or less. So Howie wins.
Yeah, as a pool player, I'll tell you, that's more than a bank shot. That's more like a three-cushion massé shot, the likelihood of that occurring. Howie Hawkins, though, that's a great trade as a lockbox trade, because we don't get a lot of lockbox trades in the 80s, and at 83 cents, for him to come in fourth is pretty likely. Of course, Howie Hawkins is a name that's not well known. He is the co-founder of the Green Party, and he's an American trade unionist and environmental activist from New York. In general, the Libertarian and Green parties are off to a much, much slower start than 4 years ago in the last cycle, and have lower name recognition candidates in the way of Joe Jorgensen on the Libertarian side and Howie Hawkins in the Green Party. But I think to expect Howie to come in fourth behind Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian candidate in the third slot, is a fantastic trade. And it's nice to see the action in that market. About 230,000 shares have traded already. So again, our lockbox trade, Howie Hawkins, being a near lock for fourth place in the popular vote in the which presidential candidate will finish fourth. So great trade. Appreciate that. Anything else you want to add in terms of third party candidates?
Well, I just reiterate, the reason it's not going to be Kanye is that he's not on the ballot in California and New York. I don't think he's on the ballot in Texas or Florida either. He's not on the ballot in the most populous states, which means for him to be fourth place, he's going to need a lot of people to write him in. And for that to happen in states where they actually count the write-ins, it's just not feasible, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Terrific. Well, Jason, it's been a lot of fun having you on. You are a friend of the show and always welcome back. And we know, of course, we're going to have you back on before November, just to get your final take before the general election. You should follow Jason on Twitter at Jipkin, J-I-P-K-I-N, is his Twitter handle. And, of course, predictingpolitics.com, where he blogs as well. So, Jason, thank you again.
Thanks, Jeff and Mike. It's a pleasure being on.
Well, appreciate it. And just to let you know, before our next episode, we are working on putting together the election issue of Luckbox Magazine. Luckbox Magazine always is a deep dive into some theme, and it's appropriate that our upcoming issue will be election-focused. Jason Pipkin, other friends of the show like Scott Supak and Derek Phillips will be weighing in that next issue, giving some of their thoughts about the upcoming election. And it's going to be a must-read for traders who are new to trading presidential elections. So look for the next issue of Luckbox Magazine. It's free in digital format. You just simply have to go to getluckbox.com to register. And we'll also have some feature stories about the Electoral College. We're interviewing Joe Jorgensen, a Libertarian candidate for president in 2020, and also the recently elected chairman of the Libertarian Party, Joe Bishop Henchman, will all be featured in the upcoming issue of Luckbox magazine, as well as a little feature that calculates the probability that our next president will have dementia. So another fun thing to look forward to in the upcoming issue. So check out also thepoliticaltrade.com to sign up for our newsletter. Find us on social media or send us a message. It's all there at thepoliticaltrade.com. So thanks again for joining us today. This is Jeff Joseph.
And I'm Mike Reddy.
And remember to believe in math, master your trade, and join us next time on The Political Trade.